And so we thank them for their faithfulness. Amen. Once again, we want to thank you for tuning in with us online, wherever you're at. Amen. Praise the Lord. And this morning, amen, I believe the Lord has given me a word for such a time as this. Amen. For such a time as this. And the title of this message this morning is, What in the World is Going On? What in the World is Going On? I want you to look to your neighbor, and I want you to ask him that question.
What in the world is going on?
Praise the Lord. I want to pray before we get into the word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your presence and the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just be with us here this morning in a special way, that you would be with all those that are watching online, those at the house fires. I pray that your presence would fall. That Lord, your presence would just flow through the airways, Father God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have today, God, you have taken back the airways from Satan, Lord. The Bible says that he's the prince of the power of the air. But Lord, today, churches everywhere are streaming online their services. And Lord, right now, God, the enemy is mad, Father, because the gospel is being preached, Lord, all over the world. He thought he could stop us through this virus, Lord. But Lord, like you told Peter, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And Lord God, it's during a time of trouble and persecution and hardship that the word even spreads even more. So we praise you this morning, God, that the word is being spread all over the world, God. And so I pray, Lord, that you would just minister in such a special way. Lord, we thank you and we love you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen,
amen.
And amen. What in the world is going on? These past 2 weeks, you've probably been asking yourself this question. From social distancing being put on us from one day to the next, to panic, fear, and anxiety all of a sudden being thrusted upon the world, you might have walked into the store and seen the empty shelves. You might have went to your favorite restaurant and seen there is no dine-in, just takeouts. Your job may be cutting hours, or worse yet, laying you off or laying people off. And in light of this, you're asking yourself, what in the world is going on? There are three things the Lord showed me that I want to share with you this morning on what the Lord is doing through this whole crisis. The world may seem like it's out of control, but I want you to know that God is still in control. And as I was praying and asking the Lord for a word for this Sunday and for this morning, the Lord began to show me three things that he's doing through this crisis. And I want to share with you these three things here this morning. The first thing that the Lord showed me that he was doing this morning is that there is a shifting taking place. Tell your neighbor, there's a shifting taking place. For the past few months before this virus struck, this word shift has been a buzzword. This word shift in the church, in Christianity, has been a buzzword. It's been a buzzword. And I believe God was preparing the church for a divine shift. But not just for the church, but for the world. Yes. See, after each major world disaster, like the Spanish flu back in the early 1900s, or like 9/11, or even like Hurricane Katrina, or the Asian tsunamis, or even the Great Depression and the recession of 2008, after these great crises that took place in the world always changed after these crises. In other words, there was a shift that took place. I believe this is another time where God is shifting the world. I call it God's great shift. Come on. This has happened quite a few times before in our history. And even we see it in biblical history. One example is found in the book of Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, where God shifted the whole world's language and the landscape of the world. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 through 9, it says, "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, 'If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us,'" he's talking to the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, "Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there for over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole world. What we see here taking place in this scripture is that in one day, things were forever changed for the people of the world. In one day, things changed. Amen. Sounds a lot similar to what's taking place today. Amen. From one day to the next, things changed. But I believe God was preparing us for this shift.
Yes.
It's not a coincidence, but it is a God incident that months before this became a buzzword in Christianity. There was books written on leadership shift. Matter of fact, John Maxwell wrote a book on the leadership shift. I think it was Todd Dunnelly, the famous worship leader, had a whole album called Shift. Why? Because God was preparing his people for the shift. Amen. But sadly, a lot of times the people of God can be asleep. Like the disciples that fell asleep on Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus told them to pray, and Peter and John and James and the rest of the disciples were found sleeping not once, not twice, but three times. I believe it's a time for the church to wake up.
That's right.
And it's during this time that God has caused a shift to take place. Some may remember travel pre 9/11. How many remember traveling pre 9/11? How many remember catching a plane pre 9/11, before 9/11 took place? There were no big TSA lines or checks. But after 9/11, everything changed on how we travel. There was a shift. See, things are changing in our world as we speak. Amen. The church has changed in just 1 week from packed churches to empty pews and chairs. And many churches, including ours, had to change the way we minister to God's people and preach the gospel to the world.
Yes.
A shift took place from 1 week to the next. Just last Sunday, we were gathered here with the people of God. But there was a shift. See, a shift means a change that's taking place. See, the problem is that people don't like change. People don't like change. This is why you still have people going out and not paying attention to the standards that You know, the government, the CDC tells us social distancing. They're still crowding up at the beaches, some millennials, right? We've seen that with spring break. Because people resist change. We buck change. We fight change. We come against change. See, but when God shifts us, I said when God shifts us, we are made to change.
Yes. Mm,
we are made to change. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen, God gives us free will. But don't get it twisted. If he wants to make us do something, oh, we're going to do it. The word of God says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the honor and glory of God. There's some knees that may not want to bow. There's some tongues that may not want to confess. But there's going to be a day when the King of Kings returns. There's going to be a day when that knee's going to be made to bow and that tongue's going to be made to confess. But as for me and my house, we will bow willingly. We will confess willingly that Jesus is Lord.
That's right.
I believe that this shift we are going through right now is a preparation for the return of the Lord. Because every time God causes a shift, it's because he's about to do something great.
That's right.
You need to get this word in your spirit.
Yes.
I believe God is coming back soon.
Yes.
It may not happen right after this virus passes. It may not happen this year. It may happen. It may take a few years. But I believe this through this crisis that God is preparing the people for his return. God is getting ready to bring in an end time harvest.
Yes. Yes.
And as the church, we need to shift with the shift.
Come on, that's right.
Oh, you didn't hear me. We need a shift with the shift.
Yes.
How do we do this? We do this by adapting to change.
Yes.
And flowing with the Holy Spirit. Because God is getting ready to do something great.
Yes.
God is ready to return. Jesus is ready to come back. But in his mercy, in his grace, he's allowed this to take place in the world, not just in our nation, but all over the world. And why has he allowed this to take place? In hopes that people will turn to him. And listen, I got some news that there are people that are turning to God. The backsliders coming back to God. Matter of fact, you're watching right now and you walked away from God, but God is drawing you back. Come on, somebody. And I'm here to tell you that God loves you and he welcomes you back. He is that loving father. He is that loving father. You are the prodigal son, that prodigal daughter. But God's hands are wide open. They're wide open for you to come back. And he's ready. He has the sandals to put on your feet. He has the gold ring to put on your finger.
Yes.
God loves you and he's been waiting for you.
Yes.
And it's through this crisis that many are coming back to the Lord. It's through this crisis that many are paying attention to God. They're paying attention to the word now. Because of the shifting. What is going on in our world? A shifting. Secondly, what's going on in our world is a sifting.
Mm. Wow, come on.
That's right. A sifting.
Mm. That's good, Pastor.
And Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 32 is the account where Jesus tells Peter that Satan has desired to sift them. It says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." I like the amplified version. It says, "Simon, Simon, Peter, listen. Are you listening this morning?
Oh, come on.
Satan has demanded permission to sift, and then in italics it says all of you, like grain. See, I believe God has allowed what's going on today as a sifting in the church. Yes. To sift you as wheat is a metaphor for a trial of faith. Mm. Get this now. To sift you as wheat is a metaphor for a trial of faith. When wheat is sifted, the chaff and other impurities fall to the ground, while the desired end product, the good wheat, remains in the sieve. Yeah. See, we believers are the wheat that remains and not the chaff that falls. Listen, this is not a time to fall away. Christians, listen, pay attention carefully. This is not a time to fall away. This is a time to hold on to your Bible. This is a time to hold on to your altar at home. This is a time to hold on to your faith. This is a time to hold on to your belief in Christ Jesus and not waver, but believe that God is doing something. What he's doing a sifting.
Yes.
He's doing a sifting. When God sifts us through our post-salvation trials, in other words, the trials that come after our salvation. How many know that just because we get saved doesn't mean that we're immune to trials? Listen, we're Christians and we're the church, and guess what? We're going through the same trial that the whole world is going through. It doesn't make us immune to trials. We will have trials even after our salvation. But the good news is that our hope is in God. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in the Word of God. And we don't have to fear what the future holds because we know who holds the future. When God sifts us through our post-salvation trials, we become like the good wheat, cleaner, more valuable, and ready for use. It's only after God sifts us that we become more cleaner. I believe God is purifying the church.
Yes, yes.
I believe God is purifying Christians. I believe right now Christians are examining themselves. Why? Because we know that Jesus is coming back.
That's right. Yeah.
And we're saying, man, we need to get right before we get left.
Come on.
There's a sifting taking place. So sifting causes us to be more cleaner, more valuable, and ready for the master's use.
Yes.
The sifting process makes us better, stronger, and more like Jesus. This sifting process is making us better. Don't let it make you bitter. But let it make us better. We can't get mad at God. No, let this trial purify our faith. Consider these three aspects of the believer's sifting from the scripture. Number one, Jesus used Satan to do the sifting. Listen, this virus did not come from God. This virus, don't get it twisted, it is a direct attack from the devil himself. This was made in hell itself. This coronavirus was made up in the devil's heart in hell. It has not come from God. But see, God allows it to take place. This may seem strange, but it's true. Satan asked to sift Peter, and Jesus agreed. Just like Jesus agreed, like the Lord agreed for the enemy to sift Job. Here, Satan asked Jesus to sift Peter. See, God allows Satan to afflict believers. But he limits Satan's influence and reach. Even a good Christian like Peter was not immune to Satan's assaults. We're not immune to the attacks of the enemy. Satan's goal is to use a trial to destroy your faith.
Come on now.
But Jesus' goal is to use the same trial to build your faith. Is this building your faith?
Come on. Yes.
Let this be a time that God builds your faith through drawing closer to God and through drawing closer to His Word. Secondly, what we learn here from this sifting process is that Jesus prayed for Peter's faith to increase and not for the sifting to stop. I know we're praying that this coronavirus will stop. But I believe Jesus is praying for our faith to increase through this.
Yes.
See, demonstrating your faith during a period of struggle, regardless of its source, is the bigger issue. During this time, we may find ourselves being sifted. Turn to Jesus, who promises us in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. He says, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. See, during this time, let's magnify God and not Satan or this trial or this virus, but let's magnify God. If there's anybody sick among you, lay hands on them. Believe God. Let's step out in faith. Come on, somebody. If God's going to heal somebody, He's going to heal them at this point, and He wants to use you. Come on, somebody. Pastor can't be there. The elder can't be there, but you are there, and you are a royal priesthood, a holy people, a holy nation, and God has anointed us for such a time as this. We as a ministry of Victory Outreach, we've been equipped. Our leaders have been equipping us. Our God has been equipping us to rise up at a challenging time like this and let our faith arise and believe the word of God that the sick will be healed at the laying on of the hands of the people of God.
Amen.
Thirdly, the sifting would equip Peter to strengthen others. Who better to strengthen a brother or sister in Christ through a trial than a fellow believer who has experienced the very same trial?
Amen.
Listen, right now, we are all experiencing the same trial. From the White House to your house, we are facing the same demon, the same trial. So let's encourage one another through God's word and through our faith. It blesses my heart to see so many people online encouraging people.
Yes.
So many people going live now. So many people. There's more people now going live with the word of God.
Come on.
With prayer.
Amen.
There's more pastors going online encouraging the church, encouraging the people. And it's not just the church that is watching, but it is the world that is watching.
Yes.
And you know what's taking place? What's taking place is that the word of God is spreading.
Come on.
In the book of Acts, it talks about how the word of God spread.
Amen.
But it happened when the church was being persecuted.
That's right.
But even as the church was being persecuted, the word of God was still spreading.
Yes.
Still spreading. And it's a time to continue to encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 through 14, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Respect those who work hard among you. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Just as the sifting process brings forth the best of the wheat, a trial of faith can bring forth the best in you. All of our faiths are being tested right now. Let it bring out the best in us instead of the worst in us. Satan has asked permission to severely test the Apostle Peter. God decided to grant his request. God allows Satan to test people on occasion. Job chapter 1 and 2, it tells us that God allowed Satan to severely test Job. I have been preaching about that. It's not a coincidence that just before this virus took place, we started preaching a series on the life of Job. And I was sharing how so many things took place in Job's life. Job lost members of his family, most of his wealth, and he was struck with sickness himself. God also allowed Satan to afflict the Apostle Paul with an illness that would never go away. We find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. It was the thorn in the flesh. Scripture says that neither Job or Paul had sinned. Job's trial was a test to prove his faithfulness. Paul's trial was to keep him from pride. Peter's trial was a test of his faithfulness. But Peter failed the test when he denied Jesus 3 times. This is a time as a shifting. It's a time of testing at the same time.
Yeah.
A shift is a test. A sifting. I mean, a sifting is the test of trial. The trial, a testing time. And we're being sifted. Sis, we may fail the test like Peter. But listen, it's never a complete loss if it's a lesson learned.
Amen.
You got to get that. Some of you need to hear this word this morning. We may fail like Peter, the test, but it's never a complete loss if it is a lesson learned. But the question is, are we learning our lesson? I believe that even through Peter, even though Peter failed, this time, he learned his lesson for the next time.
Right.
One last thing about this sifting. You know, I always thought it was only Peter who was sifted. But when I read this verse this time, I finally caught that it says, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. Mm-hmm. I used to always think that it was just Peter that was sifting. Every time I preached, I was like, Peter got sifted. But whenever I read it this time in the NIV version, it says that Satan has asked to sift all of you. Wow. Satan asked to sift all the disciples. To sift all the disciples. Not just Peter. It wasn't just Peter that Satan wanted to sift. See, the adversary was not just going to sift Peter, but all the disciples. But it was Peter that Jesus told that when he comes out of it, to strengthen his brothers. All of us are being sifted right now. During this crisis, we're all being sifted. We're all being sifted. But I believe that there are some Peters.
Yes. Come on,
somebody.
Yes.
There are some Peters that are being raised up right now that have gone through the sifting, and God is calling you to strengthen the brothers and the sisters in Christ. So go ahead and keep on encouraging people. Keep on posting. Keep on going live. Keep on being a blessing, and be that Peter that is going to strengthen your brothers and sisters in Christ during this crisis. And thirdly, and lastly, on what is going on in this world, is that there is a stopping. There is a stopping. In other words, a divine shutdown. A divine shutdown. A divine shutdown is taking place right now so that we can focus on God. We're not distracted by the everyday worries of life now. We don't have to take little Johnny to football practice, baseball practice, basketball practice. We can't go to the movies. We're limited in what we could do. So there is a divine stopping. A divine shutdown. Why? So that we can focus on God. Church. World, it's time to focus on God right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Focus on God. You know, we need to fight the temptation to focus on other things right now. Because it's so easy to be tempted to say, oh, now I can just deep clean the house. And great, deep clean the house. But while you're doing it, worship God.
Yes.
Sing praises to God. Listen to the Bible. Fight the temptation to binge watch on Netflix, Hulu, TV, and the news. All bad news. It's all just bad news that comes out of the airways. Why don't we binge on prayer?
Come on, come on.
Why don't you take this time to binge on the Word of God? Binge on worship.
Yes.
Binge on the presence of God. Yes. Let this be a time that we're in a divine shutdown, that now you can focus on God and you can worship all day. You can pray longer. You can be in your Word longer. Because many times we say, I don't got the time for prayer or the Bible. But now you got the whole time to do so.
Yes.
This will pass. This will pass and eventually subside. But we must seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near.
Amen.
David wrote his best psalms when he was in confinement in the cave of Adullam. The Apostle Paul wrote his best letters under house arrest. And John the Revelator wrote the book of Revelations. Revelations isolated on the island of Patmos. See, it was in times of shutdowns. It was on times where it seems like God put people on a pause. Like God has the world on a pause right now for a season. So that we can look up to where our help comes from. It's during these times where God put man on pause. That man has been able to draw closer to God. That man has been able to hear better from God. So what is going on in this world? God has us on pause. He has us on pause so that we can focus on Him. Direct your attention to the Lord. Seek Him while He may be found. Draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. We're on pause. We're in a shift. We're in a sift. There's a shifting, a sifting, and a stopping. In closing, as you stand where you're at, right there in that house fire, right there in your home, stand with us. We're going to have an altar call. I want to pray for you. But as we close, remember this, that no matter what's going on in the world, God is still in control. And God still loves the world. God still loves the world. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Listen to that. For God so loved the world. God is not mad at the world. God is not an angry God sitting in heaven all mad at the world. No, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us. You still love the world. God is not a man that He should change. He doesn't change His mind. God loves you. He loves you. I don't know who you are or who's watching. Maybe you haven't put your faith in Jesus yet. Maybe you haven't surrendered your life to God. I want you to know that God loves you. And if you have not put your trust in Him today, today is the day of your salvation. Jesus is coming back soon. It's time to surrender your heart to Jesus. It's time to give your heart to the Lord. You see what's taking place. Some of you, you grew up in church. You heard messages preached. The Holy Spirit always is convicting you and dealing with you, and you've been running from God. But God got you on pause. God got you on stop, and God got your attention. And this is the day of your salvation. He says, if you hear my spirit calling you, do not harden your hearts in rebellion. If this is you, you're ready to give your heart to Jesus, whether you're here in this building or whether you're at a church fire, a house fire, or you're watching online, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus, that you shall be saved. And if you're ready to put your trust and your faith in Jesus, I want you to join me in this prayer. It's the prayer of salvation. And it's through this prayer, through the blood of Jesus, through the work that Jesus did on the cross. And as you declare these words, as you make this a declaration of your belief, that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he came down to this world, and he led a sinless life, and he went to the cross of Golgotha. He went to the cross of Calvary for your sins, my sins, and the world's sins. As you begin to confess that, the Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins. As you begin to confess and say, Lord, I am a sinner, and I need your mercy, and I need your grace upon my life. As you begin to confess that, and you say, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior, be my Lord. The Bible says that you are saved when you say that prayer. So if you want to be saved, if you want to give your life to Jesus right now, repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Today, I confess you as my Lord and as my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I humble myself before you. I turn from my wicked ways, and I want to follow you. I want to be your son. I want to be your servant. I give my life to you in the mighty name of Jesus. If you said that prayer, I want you to know you're saved now. And I believe the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And I believe that right now the Spirit of God is touching your life. I also want you to remember to choose faith over fear, peace over panic, and sharing over selfishness. During this time right now, as we close, remember this, church. Choose faith over fear, peace over panic, sharing over selfishness. Victor Arch Grand Perry, and all those that are watching, Sylvia and I, we love you. We miss you. And we're optimistic that very soon we're going to be back together worshiping God in the house of God. But I want to bring this to a close by speaking over your life the priestly blessing. And it's found in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. I want you to lift your hands as I speak this blessing over your life. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Right there where you're at, just lift your hands. Lord. You want to come to the altar, you want to step forward right there in that house fire, you want to get on your knees right there before God.